You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Welcome back to Fly on the Call. Today I'm coming at you with a Fly on the Call first, speaking with an instrumental band. Speak Memory is a mathy, emo, etc. band from Oklahoma, who are getting ready to release their first EP since 2014 this Friday, May 21st. As you may be able to guess by the title Adirondack and the tracks Trails, Lakes, and Cabin, they're very much about creating their own musical environment. Our conversation hits on the history of the project and the emotions they seek to convey with their music, as well as some talk about their live show and physical release of Adirondack. Enjoy. With this being like the first Speak Memory release since 2014, I kind of wanted to just get a little bit of history about the band and learn kind of more about how you got to this point.
Yeah, definitely. So the band started, it's kind of hit hard to pinpoint when exactly we started. We didn't play our first show until late 2011. But we were working on getting it all together around 2010. For a while, it was just the drummer and I, and we didn't find a bass player until maybe a year later, in which case that's how we got in touch with Bartiz, because he was like a mutual friend of someone outside of the band, and they connected us together. And I can't remember if we had talked like prior to, like, he wanted a jam and everything. I think it was like the day of that he was like, hey, you know, I'm looking forward to this. And it was like our first time interacting. And, you know, from that day that we practiced, we just became real good friends, and just a guy that's been in my corner ever since. Originally, when we started, we were under a different name. It was a unpronounceable German word that I pronounce Tonderedei. But if you come across someone who's more fluent in German, they probably are pronouncing it in the correct way. And originally I had gotten that name from a poem that I read in one of my German classes in college, called Under der Linden. And it was like a Romeo and Juliet type of story where it's like, these two people who really love each other, they meet under this tree to, you know, discuss how things have been going, to express their feelings for one another away from their family. And I don't know, I like stuff like that, kind of like the, you know, romantic type stuff. So I was like, oh, this would be cool. And, you know, it would be different. And then kind of a few years into it, like, no one knows how to spell our name or even pronounce it. And I just got to thinking, from a marketing standpoint, this is probably a death sentence if we don't change it. And then Speak Memory came about, which my friend Calvin recommended the name for me, like, because it's based off of a autobiography by Vladimir Nabokov. And he basically, you know, describes his life story and his autobiography, and, you know, talks about like the pain he went through or what made him the person that, you know, he was up to that point. And, you know, that was another thing that I gravitated towards, because I, even though we're primarily an instrumental band, I write based off of past experience, and I have like particular stories in my head that kind of reflect through my guitar playing, like the emotion and that sort of thing. So I thought this would work, and, you know, and obviously it's easily pronounceable. The only struggle is, like, we have people leave out the comma that's in between Speak and Memory. So, which is, it's not that big of a deal. It's whatever.
And I mean, you mentioned like that bringing of the emotion into the instrumental music, which, you know, it's I feel like that's kind of a challenge in itself, you know, being that there's not the spoken word to like latch onto. Can you talk a little bit about what that process is like for you?
Yeah. So a lot of how I go about that is I'm primarily influenced by a lot of old school emo stuff. So, you know, Christy Front Drive and Menroll, like Christy Front Drive, especially, I felt like, you know, they had vocals, but a lot of the time it was just instrumental. Like it was just more the music that you heard more than like vocals or lyrics. I don't even think they had lyric sheets in the booklets. But they were kind of one of those bands like, well, if you want to guess what we're talking about, figure it out on your own. But the instrumentation with bands like that, like I could kind of feel like, oh, there's something going on behind this. I don't know what they're going through, but I can really identify strangely in some way. So I've tried to like grab on to what it was that bands like them did and try to apply it to what I'm doing, but obviously set it in a more modern setting so it doesn't sound outdated or anything, which, not saying, like, to me, Christy Front Drive, Menroll, Roadside Monument, those bands still sound fresh to me, but you know, to do something that you would hear in like 2021.
And I'm curious, do you tend to see people connecting with the specific emotions that you're like kind of trying to get out there with the music, or do they seem to just kind of connect with the music itself on a more surface level?
It's half and half. It really depends on who you're talking to. Like we do have a lot of people from around here in Oklahoma City that enjoy us just because like they're musicians too. So they just gravitate to the musicianship, like, oh, you know, look at him do that on the drums, or, oh, look at him like loop that guitar note and just add to it. But then you have other people who do feel something, like they do. Like I have one person describe the music as sounding like, you know, there's sadness in it, but at the same time, there's a bit of hope, a bit of optimism. And, you know, and I'd say I would get behind that. You know, it's basically relating from whatever it is that we go through in life and, you know, just applying it to the music in some way. Like, yeah, we have ups and downs. We get sad. But in the end, like, we're optimistic to what the future holds and to whatever opportunities are presented.
The obvious theme on the record kind of revolves around nature with the title Adirondack and then the tracks Trails, Lakes, and Cabin. Can you talk a little about kind of what that inspiration, how that served you during the writing process?
Yeah. So I think around the time that I was writing those songs, I was going through a heavy time. One of my dogs had passed away because of like this disease that you don't normally, like, even the vets never came across anything like that, like a sort of leukemia of sorts. And my grandma had passed away, and, you know, just heavy stuff like that that just made me want to, you know, kind of get away from it all, like kind of escape to somewhere where I could clear my head and kind of balance myself out. And, you know, so like kind of the escapism vibe. So, which albums, like maybe, you know, Hope's Fall, The Satellite Years, had a big influence on that. I chose Adirondack just because I love the mountains. I love Mother Nature. And I had never been, but it's always a place that I've wanted to visit, that I've had friends who have visited who have nothing but nice things to say about it. So, you know, I figure this would be perfect to kind of deal with what it is I'm going through right now.
And you know, at this point, it's been kind of recorded for almost a year and a half. I'm curious kind of what the process was to get to this point and what made now the right time to release it.
Well, right now, I felt it was a good time to release it just because I do feel, I mean, there's still unknowns with what's going on in the world, but I do feel a sense of optimism of kind of getting back to some kind of normalcy, whatever that ends up being, we'll see. But I figure now would be the good time to let's put this out there. All of us have been through a really rough year, and this would help try to go through those emotions and try to get us back to how we were feeling before all of this happened.
I'm normally like not really much of a music video person, but I think the fact that I didn't kind of have to worry about a vocal performance allowed me to really appreciate the video for Trails in a different way and almost kind of like gave a sense of urgency to it. Can you talk a little about that video and how it came together?
Yeah. So there's a guy from Oklahoma City, David, who has this video company called Muted Imagery. And he's done a few videos for some other bands, and he does really great work. And the way that he does his videos, there's a story behind it, good visuals. So I went with him and just wanted to see, hey, this is what I had in mind, like with Trails, trying to give it like a Eternal Sunshine kind of vibe, where you know these two people trying to reconnect after a long time of not seeing each other and just having these memories of one another and just going on the journey to reconnect again. And of course, you know, minus like the, you know, what appear to be like brain damage in Eternal Sunshine, but you know, just to make it sweet, to reconnect these two people that, you know, just want to be together and want to be happy in a world that doesn't seem to want to allow people to be happy.
Yeah, and that kind of goes along with the sort of less obvious theme on the album that, you know, is written about in the bio, which is kind of like unrequited love, and that as kind of something that you were working through as you worked on these tunes. I'd love to hear a little bit about kind of why that's an important thing for listeners to know and what you hope people will like get out of it.
I think the biggest struggle in my life is trying to find someone that I can connect with that feels the same way back. And, you know, there are these moments where come across someone, you get a good vibe, and it turns out in the end, the feeling wasn't mutual. So it's trying to channel through that disappointment in a way that only I feel like that I could, which, you know, pick up a guitar, play some gnarly riffs, add some effects, and, you know, make it as pretty and sad as possible while, you know, being a little hopeful at the same time.
Sure. And one of the songs that stands out to me a lot is Lakes, for a couple of reasons. The first kind of being the pop punky like driving intro, which isn't really something that I typically expect from like a math rocky band. I'm curious like what kind of went into the creation of that.
Yeah, so what's funny about that song is it was actually the first song we had written after we put out our first EP, Value to Survival, back in 2014. It sounded a lot different back then because, like, we had the pop punk drums and everything that you hear on the recording, it was about the same up until it got to the end where it was just me on guitar playing and our bassist at the time doing these weird effects during me playing. Once we reconnected and wanted to play that song again, JT, the drummer, wanted to try something different this time around. And while we were jamming it, we were kind of getting like a Police vibe, like with his drumming style and everything, but because he was listening to a lot of Stuart Copeland at the time, and you know, I'm a big Police fan. Synchronicity's, I mean, it's probably everyone's favorite album, but you know, it's up there, like I would say at least top 20. You know, it had some impact on me in some way, so it was kind of cool to be able to get that vibe out at the end of the song, and it just kind of brought some new life into it, and it made that more interesting, because it's like, yeah, you know, you have like this, you know, Fat Records kind of drumming style that's going on, and then at the end it's like, oh, you know, it's this kind of reggae-ish whatever happening at the end. So but most importantly, I wanted us to do a song that just would surprise people. Like, as soon as they listen to it, you know, they'd be like, whoa, I was not expecting this.
And can you talk a little bit about kind of like that creative process of blending in those additional influences?
Yeah. So the way that it works is I'll present a guitar part to the guys, and we just kind of dissect from there, and we add our own influences into it. So I always, whenever I write something, I let it be known that, hey, this isn't set in stone, and I feel you guys are way better musicians than I am. So whatever you're feeling would make the song a little more interesting, or, you know, would catch the listener's attention, just go ahead and let me know what you want to try, and we'll do it. So, and I trust them, and they're like, we're all on the same page as far as what we listen to. I'd say Cody and JT, like, they kind of lean towards more like the metal side of things, but overall it's like we're into math rock, we're into emo, hardcore, indie. We just kind of like mix all of what we enjoy into a pot and just kind of see what comes out of it. If it sounds good, then we'll keep going. If it doesn't, then we'll try something different until it satisfies us.
I mean, the other thing that stands out about Lakes is the fact that there are vocals on the track, which the stylistically kind of goes back to what you're saying about like Christy Front Drive and stuff, where it's like they're kind of hazy, and you can, like, if you're listening closely, you can maybe make out every other word. Can you talk a little bit about that kind of like decision to bring those in as a primarily instrumental band?
Yeah. So, and I've been telling people this since the beginning, but I've always wanted vocals in Speak Memory. And there have been times where we've tried out vocalists that I felt like, oh, they would be perfect to add vocals, but just no one was that committed and, you know, giving it a try. So it just kind of left it to the side for a while, but it's always something I've wanted to do, you know, to add vocals. Though I didn't want to do it in the traditional verse, chorus, verse kind of sense. Like, I'd say, you know, like a Cruci Front Drive, or even like Apple Seedcast, like Fish in the Sky. Like, when you listen to that song, like, it's not really verse, chorus, verse, and he only has, I don't know, three or four lines like throughout the song that, you know, he just repeats. So that's something I felt like, oh, I'd love to give that a try. And this was kind of like the test to, you know, maybe see how it would work, and maybe see how people would react to it. Cause, you know, so there's some people, they prefer things to be instrumental, and some people, they do want to hear vocals, but maybe they don't like it. So it was just, I don't know, trying to be a little creative with it, but trying to make it sound presentable. In the studio, the producer that we worked with, I had him tweak some things with my vocals, like add reverb and effects to it. Like, I was trying to go for a vocal sound that was similar to one of the earlier versions of Ceremony by New Order, which I don't know what they were using, if they were using anything. Like, that's early 80s that we're talking right there. But I wanted to like try to capture like how they were doing it and try to present it in this form.
And then obviously Cabin is kind of like this sprawling end of the album, 6 minute plus track, which I feel like that's one that I especially appreciate, the kind of like the space between the instrumentals on. Can you talk a little bit about how that one came together?
Yeah. So that came together. I had written it, I think it was, yeah, it was 2017 around the time. And it was just something that I had written on the acoustic guitar that at the time, I wasn't planning on using it for Speak Memory, but whenever Cody and I started practicing, because Cody joined the band probably in the middle of 2017, and it was like a few months after that that we were getting together trying to write some songs. And at the time, it was a bit difficult because we weren't sure what we were doing exactly, as far as, well, do you just show me something and I write to it, or, and I don't know. And plus, I'm not really good at just coming up with things right off the cuff. I like to kind of pre-plan what I have and then show it to someone, and we go from there. So I decided to show it to Cody and, you know, see what he thought. And he was in love with it, and we had just been working on that for, well, ever since then. We had tried adding it into the set for a while, but for reasons, we weren't able to, until I think once we got to the middle or late part of 2019 that we finally got around to practicing it as a full band. And yeah, that's how it came together, to the most boring story of all time.
Nice. And I mean, I'm curious, like with live shows starting to come back and stuff, like what is a Speak Memory live show? Like, what is kind of like your main focus when you bring these songs to life on stage?
My main focus is to try to give a performance that you don't normally see with a band like us. So like before the pandemic upended shows for the time being, we'd start off the show with like, you know, little ambient sounds, and then we'd have like these interludes between certain songs as to, you know, try to keep ourselves from talking to the crowd too much, because that's like a vice of mine, or was a vice in the past with Speak Memory. It's like, I would just talk a lot, like in between songs, because it's like, well, you know, how do I keep everyone's attention? And and it got to a point where it's like, oh no, like we have to like cut one or two songs from the list or from the set list because I just spent too much time talking. So I do the interludes just for that reason, but you know, it's also like, oh, this would be something cool to try out. Like, you know, I remember seeing bands in the past do that sort of thing, and it always captivated me and inspired me to want to do the same thing. And depending on where we're playing at, we try to have like visuals too, playing behind us. Like another idea that I got, like, I think when I saw Apple Seacast when they were doing their 10th anniversary tour for a Low Level Owl, like, you know, they had projectors up and they had you know, different videos playing, and other bands like that I saw in the past, like Esther Drain or Unwed Sailor, like did the same thing. And I just thought it'd be cool to do that as well, because I don't know, I don't recall that many bands nowadays doing that. I mean, there's some, but you know, it's so uncommon, and it's just something I'd like to, you know, bring into a live show, like kind of give everyone to experience, you know, what it is that we do. Oh, and I And I was discussing this with a friend of mine yesterday. Our drummer, like every time we play, our drummer plays different notes a lot of the times. Like, it's hard to explain. Like, the structure's still the same. It's not like we're writing, like, you know, he's doing something completely new. But, you know, it's one of those things where it's like a snapshot for the time. Like, you know, this is what, you know, he did at this show. And the next show, he might do something completely different that just wows people. It's I guess it's like a jazz drummer thing. I don't know, but it's pretty cool. And I think it's why I'm so, you know, why I always encourage people to come out to see us live, because, you know, whatever you hear on the recording doesn't necessarily reflect what it is that we do in a live setting.
I have a problem with quality filters for my jokes, so I hope you and listeners will forgive me, but I have to say that I love that as a math rock band, it sounds like you are very calculated with your live sets.
Love that.
And then, you know, I always like to wrap up the show the same way, which is just by asking for a piece of advice or something you've been thinking about lately, whether it's music or life or whatever else that you want to share.
I guess the best piece of advice I could give is to always be kind, to don't overthink things too much, and to always keep optimistic that, you know, things happen for a reason, and that doesn't necessarily mean that whatever dreams and or aspirations that you have aren't going to happen. Just kind of allows you to, you know, to keep focused, and, you know, if you keep focused, you're kind, and, you know, you don't get you don't quit whatever it is that you're doing, you know, whatever you aspire to be or whatever dreams you want to have come true, that they'll happen. Just keep at it and things will fall into place.
Love it. And is there anything else that we haven't hit on about Adirondack or the band in general that you've been really wanting to get out?
So for Adirondack, like, we're going to release it on vinyl, and the first 50 copies, there are these postcards that Chris from Clear Story AV, the label that's putting it out, it's something that he made, where the first 50 copies will have 4 postcards, and it'll be like the cover of the EP, as well as pictures of trails, lakes, and cabins. So for anyone that's into collecting things of that nature, I would encourage you to pre-order and collect it. It's pretty cool. I have them, and yeah, Chris is just the best, because originally we were kind of thinking, oh, do you want to do like a poster or do you want to do this? So I'm like, well, this would seem more genuine and kind of you know, like once it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah, and I feel like the fact that it's not like poster size also makes it kind of like a little bit more intimate and like kind of fits with the music very well as well.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, posters are kind of hard to maintain. Like, I was going through my storage unit, and there were these posters that I had back in high school that they're all crumpled and everything, and it's like there's no way for me to restore them.
Yeah, for sure.
So it's like any way to keep someone from going through that same heartache.
And with that, another episode of Fly on the Call comes to a close. Be sure to check out Adirondack by Speak Memory when it comes out this Friday. It's a really cool release to lose yourself in for a little while, and I think a lot of you will dig it. Fly on the Call is brought to you by Sound Talent Media. A special thank you, as always, to The Alternative for helping promote the show, Kaylin West of Tiny Stills for the theme song, and Michaela Jane for the artwork. You can keep up to date by subscribing to the podcast and following the show on Twitter and Instagram at Fly on the Call Pod. Feel free to email any questions, comments, or other feedback to me at flythecallpod@gmail.com. Get out there and experience some nature. Fly on the call.
Whoa! What's up, everybody? I am Finn McKenty, host of the Punk Rock NBA podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. My podcast is all about doing what you love for a living, and every week I sit down and talk to people who have done exactly that. For example, musicians like Tommy from Between the Buried and Me, Matt from Periphery, Lil Lotus and Shinigami, among many others, photographers, artists, designers, YouTubers like Glenn Fricker and Sarah Dici, and I unpack exactly how they got to where they are today with the goal of helping you do the same. So if that sounds cool, you can listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com, and I'll see you there.